This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron, taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They've trialed advanced detection technologies and are committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. More at chevron.com/methane.
Hi, this is Aiden from Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm walking my dog at 9 o'clock at night and it's still 108 degrees outside. This podcast was recorded at
1:16 p.m. on Thursday, July 20th.
Things may have changed by the time you hear it. Okay, here's your show.
We were literally just talking about
just
the heat.
Talking about that.
It's too hot. It's too hot for me.
Bring a fan.
Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
I'm Frank Ordonez. I cover the White House.
And NPR correspondent Joel Rose is with us again. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Sue.
So you just got back from a trip to the southern border. The last time we had you on the podcast, we talked about how the Biden administration was expecting this big influx of people seeking asylum at the border because the pandemic era restrictions were being lifted. How did that all pan out?
That seems like a really long time ago.
Yeah.
It did not pan out exactly like that. I mean, we saw a big influx of migrants right before the end of the pandemic restrictions. But then, to the surprise of a lot of observers, the numbers really plummeted and have stayed relatively low for the past 6 weeks, 2 months since the Title 42 restrictions ended. We just got official numbers for June this week, and illegal border crossings were down a lot. They're down 40% from the month before. So it really has gone the other direction in a big way.
To what do they attribute that? Especially because we were literally just talking about the heat. And obviously, in that particular region of the world, it is especially hot right now. And weather is one of the factors that can affect things like this, right?
Historically, yeah. Summer is a time when the border crossing numbers usually drop. There are other changes, though, in terms of policy at the border that may be a big factor here. The Biden administration would certainly argue they are. One of the big ones is this new tool called CBP-1, this mobile app that migrants use to apply for an appointment at ports of entry, which is like the first step toward seeking asylum. So 40,000 appointment slots per month are being filled by migrants seeking asylum through the ports of entry instead of crossing illegally. So that's one big change. There's also this new rule that took effect in May that makes it much harder to get asylum if you cross illegally between the ports. Hmm. So big policy changes there.
Can we back up and talk about this app for a minute? Because this seems like a pretty new way of doing business at the border. So migrants would have to stay outside of the U.S. And does it also presume that migrants have access to smartphones? It's entirely app-based?
Yes. And that's one of the complaints that you hear from immigrant advocates is that it favors migrants with phones, with good phones, with better internet access. There's all kinds of inequity, they would say, baked into this system because it is so focused on having a phone and having the ability to use it.
I mean, Joel, I've found your reporting really great when you're down there. I mean, you spoke to a lot of asylum seekers on the other side of the border as well. I mean, what are they saying?
It's sort of a mix. I mean, some people are having success with the app. I don't want to lose that. I mean, some people are having success, but a lot of people are waiting a really long time for an appointment. Initially, you know, there were only 1,000 a day across the whole border. They've raised that number to about 1,400 now, but the demand is way higher than that. There are still maybe 100,000 migrants within a few miles of the border waiting for a chance to seek asylum. So there's much more demand than there is supply. And so you just have a lot of migrants waiting and logging onto their phones every day, trying to get one of these kind of coveted appointments. And for those who aren't getting them quickly, it's really frustrating. And they feel like they're in this very vulnerable situation.
Just kind of reminds me a little bit of when the Trump administration kind of moved in. And obviously, some of the advocates are comparing some of these policies to Trump administration policies. And at the beginning of the Trump administration, there was a very much a wait and see. Like, let's see how these new policies from the Trump administration pan out. Do you get a sense that some of that is going on here, where they're just waiting to see how these new Biden policies shape out and, you know, things could change?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. When there's a big policy shift at the border, typically migrants do, like, take a step back and assess, like, what does this mean for me? What am I hearing from my friends? What am I hearing on social media? What am I seeing, like, happen in front of me?
Yeah.
And it takes a little while for things to settle out. And I think administration officials also say that's what they think is happening, right? To some extent, migrants are just trying to understand this new landscape. And, you know, I think that's one reason why you don't see the administration jumping up and down about this big drop in crossings, because they know it might be temporary. they know it might just be, you know, people trying to understand what the new lay of the land is.
We've talked a lot of numbers. You said maybe 40,000 people a month are getting processed through the app, 100,000 people waiting at the border. We also have in recent years heard a ton about historic levels of people crossing the border. Where are we now in terms of these numbers? It's been so politicized. Can you just sort of give us a broad view of the number of people we're talking about?
Sure. I mean, right now, the numbers are low. The border crossings in June were the lowest since February of 2021, so basically since the Biden administration took office. In between, though, we did see record numbers of apprehensions at the border in both 2021 and then again in 2022 that are only now starting to come down to sort of more historically normal levels. So when you hear that there were record numbers of migrant apprehensions during the Biden administration, that's true. There is a factual basis for that.
The fascinating thing about this new Biden policy is it's one of those policies that seems to have just made everyone angry. It's being challenged in the courts, both by immigration advocates and hardline immigration opponents. Explain some of those challenges and what their court process looks like.
Yeah. Well, so the Biden administration's policy has carrots and sticks. And I know I've said this before, but it's true. It's really the best way to describe it. There's like the carrot of using CBP-1 to apply legally. And then there's the stick of not crossing between the ports of entry, or, you know, making it harder to get asylum if you cross in between. So depending where you are in the immigration debate, you either hate the carrot or you hate the stick, you know? And so the immigration advocates are suing to block the stick, right, to put this new asylum rule on hold. They had a crucial hearing in court just this week, and that judge could rule very soon, on whether the new asylum restrictions hold up. On the other side, the immigration hardliners hate the carrot, and yeah, they feel like CBP-1 is letting lots of migrants into the country who shouldn't be allowed into the country. So they're also going to court to try to challenge that part of it. Those cases are still a little further away. But yeah, there's something in this policy for everybody to hate.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the politics of immigration.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
Hey, a quick plug for our latest bonus episode. We're trying out a new trivia game.
I have a couple thoughts in my head. Ron, can I have a hint?
Yes, your hint is Asia.
I feel like that's not the most helpful hint.
I agree. That's not the most helpful hint.
No, I have a couple. I know the name.
Check out that episode and find out how you could have a chance to play if you're an NPR Politics Podcast Plus listener.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There is some truth in that.
There's some truth in that.
Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
And we're back. And Franco, immigration has not been a central issue in the nation's political debate. But a lot of things are going to happen in the next year or so, including a presidential election, that could change that.
There's no question about that. I mean, I do think the administration deserves credit. And look, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago or a couple months ago when we were talking about the end of Title 42, and we were all writing headlines about, like, this could cause major chaos. It's, you know, what's happened since has really kind of blunted that political talk. It's blunted, you know, pushback from Republicans. That said, there's just no way that this is not going to come back and be a big issue. And I would argue that it's going to be one of the most closely watched issues ahead of next year's presidential elections. And that's because Republicans are not going to allow it to be any other way. I mean, you have the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, one of the leading Republicans. You got, obviously, former President Donald Trump. These are huge issues for these leaders who are going to continue to bring it up. And it is such a salient issue for the Republican base. Because for Republicans, it's the same status quo. There's still an open border to them. There's still problems at the border. Nothing has really changed in their, at least their political discourse. Republicans are already getting ready to, you know, take action against leading members of the administration.
Sure.
The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, they're, you know, potentially likely to, you know, start impeachment proceedings because of their dissatisfaction with how the administration is handling the border.
I think the immigration point is so important within the confines of Republican politics in particular. It doesn't animate Democrats the same way. But in a few weeks, we're going to have the first Republican presidential debate. And Donald Trump was an immigration hardliner. And anyone trying to get any oxygen, you can't run to the center on immigration in a Republican primary. And it's pretty hard to run to the right of Donald Trump on immigration because he was already pretty tough on the issue.
Yeah, no, they're trying to run to the right.
Explains a lot of DeSantis's positioning.
Exactly. I mean, he's got some, it's pretty, pretty amazing some of the positions that Ron DeSantis is pushing. I mean, there's also obviously the flights of flying immigrants from Florida to states and cities run by liberal politicians. You know, I fully anticipate that this will be part of the Republican debates. This is going to be an issue. And I think that is also another reason why the Biden administration has been kind of kept, been kind of tempered about this, because they too know that this is going to likely to be a political issue. And the best strategy for them is for it not to be talked about, for it not to be a discussion, and for this not to be in the headlines.
As a matter of policy, Joel, immigration had a potentially brief window, maybe 10, 15 years ago, in which there was real movement in Washington to try to do something big and comprehensive, and that collapsed. And now, you know, we talk all the time on this podcast about polarization, and immigration to me seems like one of those issues where the two parties have just moved further and further apart, not only to define what the problem is, but what do you do about the problem?
Yeah, I think that's right. And there are some areas, I mean, if you look at polling, there are some areas, some sort of policy solutions in the middle that are fairly popular, like doing something for Dreamers, like a pathway to citizenship for them. These are undocumented immigrants who were brought to the country as children. There's some other sort of
agriculture
workers. Yeah.
High-skilled workers.
That. And border security. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on border security that actually polls pretty well. And you could imagine some kind of deal. But I think the base of both parties would reject it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, Joel, I'm sure we are going to have you back on this podcast to talk more about immigration as the election plays out. Thanks for doing it, as always.
Sure. You bet.
I'm Susan Davis. I cover politics.
I'm Frank Ordonez. I cover the White House.
And thanks for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from Jackson. Let's face it, retirement planning can be confusing. At Jackson, we're working to make retirement clear for everyone, starting with you. Our easy-to-understand resources and user-friendly digital tools help simplify your entire experience. You can have confidence in your retirement with clarity from Jackson. Seek the clarity you deserve at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.